Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and do we have my clip for today? Hang on. Okay. Yeah, no, we didn't think about it. That's all right. We're here, and the clip is coming. You know, it's 4 o'clock live in St. Louis, and any minute, the skies here are going to open up, and I mean to tell you, the rain is going to come pouring out. I guess, amazingly enough, people who support Trump will stand out in the rain, and they'll say, it's a nice sunny day. Nothing's going on here. Hang on. Let's go. Hang on.
Okay, I'm going to do this now. I don't know if I'm going to be the first person in history to do this or not, but God damn it, I'm going to do it. And I'm only going to do this once. So if I fuck up anywhere, you're just going to have to deal with it. Because I'm sure as hell not going back to do it again. Okay, everyone get ready. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer, and one of those bottles should happen to fall. There'd be 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer, and if one of those bottles should happen to fall.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so again, the key to all of that, aside from the curse words and all the rest of it, the key is 98 days. That's it. In 98 days, Donald Trump, and apparently this other lunatic who they're now calling weird, that's really great. I mean, think about it. He's come up with a vice presidential pick, and the whole world is calling him weird. I mean, that's where this thing is. But anyway, they're going to deposit Donald on the ash heap of history, exactly where we left Joe McCarthy, you know, 70 years ago. And it's exactly where the man belongs. So when I left you yesterday, the cat lady people, unbelievable. How are we even talking about this? And I'm going to guess that if you turn on Fox, you'll never hear it brought up. Well, I shouldn't say that, because Neil Cavuto did come on against this mess, and they're probably going to fire him for it too. But at any rate, you know, the average person dealing with anything over on Fox is not going to talk about the cat ladies. But this is so funny. Donald and J.D. Vance are doing exactly what you don't want to do if you're running for any political office, and that is they're trying to explain themselves. Because they'll tell you this. This is like campaigning 101. If you're explaining, you're losing. And that's all they're doing now. Hour after hour after hour. Everything is an explanation. So, you know, let's go with J.D. Vance first. So J.D. Vance, of course, is continuing to say that he really has nothing against cats. And, you know, you probably realize that by doing that, what he's saying, and everybody knows it, is that it's the women who are a problem, not the cats. Okay. If that's what he wants to say, hey, good for him. That's what we're doing. That's where this campaign has come to in 2024. Because the funny part, and I heard earlier, you know, but not just one person, but other people have said it too. They want to go and talk about poor Joe Biden. Because, honestly, we all know that Joe is struggling. He is 82 years old, and as I had talked for some time, several weeks ago, and especially when I had Ray Hartman here in the studio, and we talked about it together, and that is that in Germany, in 1933, Adolf Hitler ran against a guy named Paul von Hindenburg. And, of course, Paul von Hindenburg was 84 years old. And he really couldn't handle Adolf Hitler any more than people in this country can handle our Adolf Hitler. And how do we know that this man is our Adolf Hitler? Well, because J.D. Vance told us he was. J.D. Vance said clearly, we got video of him everywhere, saying that Donald Trump is the American Hitler. And that's right. And so what we, and don't forget that Donald has helped us to believe that by explaining that his presidency would be the unified Reich. And if that isn't German language, then you're going to have to explain to me what is. But look where these people have ended up. This is entirely ridiculous. And I understand if you're on Donald's side, you're talking about all kinds of things that are happening in the world that are so bad that I mean, here, let's go to the border. Let's go there. I don't even want to go to some of the other places. I want to go directly to the border. There's an ad out today that Donald created that's got a picture of Kamala Harris dancing, and apparently, I'm guessing, nobody said this yet, but I think this is what it is. I think she's supposed to be dancing some kind of a Mexican dance. I believe that's what this is about. And he is talking about how she is the border czar. And by the way, she wasn't sent down there to stop the people from coming across the border. She was down there to work on policy ideas that could be brought back to the president, which were brought back, and which Republicans and Democrats together used to craft a bill, a potential law that would do something to help stem the flow at the border. Now, remember this. I don't want to stem the flow at the border. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, open up the border and send everybody across. And I've already played this clip because for anybody that thinks that that's total insanity, let's remember that that's what Ronald Reagan wanted. He said to open it up and send them in because they would be the lifeblood of this country. Not poisoning the blood like Hitler said, but the lifeblood of our country, that it would cause us to grow. It would cause us to expand and put people to work and have their kids get jobs because they would go to school, and it would just explode our country in a positive way. And now here's Donald on the opposite side of Ronald. And what does Donald say? Well, he says, first of all, that these people are coming across the border and that they have killed last year 250,000 people. And he was saying that at some idiotic rally that he had recently. And I was on here playing the clip and laughing about it because the truth is There are no dead bodies down there. I had Michael, my cousin, came on here the other day on the chat room, and he's in Arizona, and I asked him, what's it like down there with all those dead bodies? Michael said, didn't see any dead bodies. Well, of course not, because they're just talking. They don't know what they're saying, because what they're trying to do is escape from this cat lady nonsense. That's what they don't know how to control. They have no idea what to do about this. And instead of coming up with some kind of policy to run the country, which they've never been able to do, Donald didn't do that. Back in 2016, from the day he got into office, he never had anything to do with policy anyway, because, first of all, he doesn't read anything. And when they came to talk to him about policy, all of his people said that he didn't even listen, wasn't interested, because he thinks this is some kind of a reality television show, which is the only thing he's ever done in his life that worked. It's the only thing. Everything else he's touched has died. And the funny thing about the reality show part is that what worked is what Mark Burnett made work. I mean, Mark Burnett made the psychopath that we've got staring us in the face in 2024. That's all Mark Burnett. I wonder what Mark Burnett thinks about it. It's unbelievable, because it's certainly nothing that makes any sense whatsoever. There's no policy involved. And in fact, here's what Donald had to say. He wants to explain. Remember, we're talking about here what happens when you're explaining. When you're explaining, you're losing. So Donald comes out, and here's his explanation for the cat ladies. That the truth is that J.D. Vance loves families. And that's all he says this is about. It's just about supporting families. There's nothing else going on here. Now, they do drag out this story about parents. And that's another one that I love. And I sort of touched on it a little bit yesterday, but let me talk a little bit more about it today, because I know very much about this whole parent story as a teacher in classrooms where parents think they have something to say about how their children are educated. That is lunacy. That's like saying that you should have something to say about how your doctor takes out your appendix. No, these parents have nothing to say. They don't know the first thing about what's going on in a classroom. Not the first. It's complicated in a classroom. Trying to figure out different behavior issues, trying to figure out teenager development in high school. That's, you know, where my experience has been in the public schools. And I can tell you right now that there isn't a parent that I've ever met anywhere that has walked into a classroom and known what they were talking about if it had anything to do with talking about how to run a class. They don't know. They don't know at all. And it's not their fault, because it's not their job. I mean, they might have an idea of what to do with their own kids, sure. But beyond that, they don't know. They don't know what to do in a math class. They don't know what to do in a science class. They don't know what to do in a social science class. They don't know what to do in any class, because it's not their job. And the funny part about that is that over 25 years, when I've come into contact with parents who are teachers, see, that's different. They're teachers. And you know what they say? They say, I would never tell another teacher what to do in their class because no one can tell a teacher how to run that classroom. Now, I'll grant you, they're better teachers and worse teachers, sure. But that's not parents. Parents don't know what to do. Now, in support of the parental idea, let me say this much. There's a lot of research that says that 80% of what a kid knows in life comes from home, comes from that family. And then they come to school, and that other 20% is what happens in the classroom. And I will grant you, by far, that 80% at home has a much bigger impact on what happens to that young person. But the problem is that the place for that parent is in the home. That's where that parent belongs. Take care of what's going on at home, handle your business, and send your kid to school prepared to learn. And if you want to sit down and try to parse every word that comes out of those teachers in your children's schools, you're going to waste your own time. You're not going to accomplish anything that's going to help your kids. And really, you'll probably work your kids up against you. Because in case you don't know, teenagers do not come home and say, Mom and Dad, you're right. Everything you've said has always been right. I'm with you. That's not how it works. The job of a teenager is to push back against their parents, against every kind of authority that comes their way. That's what happens. That's what teenagers do. Go take some ed psych courses and you'll know, because there's some things in which I'm an expert, and one of them is educational psychology. So don't worry, that's not the kind of psychology that leads me to say that Donald's a psychopath, because I'm not an expert in that. Now, that I'm just repeating what a different expert, that's of course Mary Trump, has to say, that he's a psychopath, he's a sociopath, all of those things, and all of that's true. Very true. And of course, what's so ironic is everything that all of the critics of Trump, like me, thought the first time around would torpedo that guy and allow Hillary to win, all of those things, it was sort of upside down and backwards. It didn't work. But you know what? This time, it's all working. It's all working perfectly because Donald somehow skated in 2016. He got away with it all. But today, it's not happening. Today, every move he makes is the wrong one. So he's got this nut, or as they say on TV today, you can watch it almost anywhere, every anchor, every news person, every commentator, they're all saying the same thing. J.D. Vance is weird. That's what they're saying. It's sort of like, and I said this yesterday and I'll keep saying it, it's sort of like when Dukakis got in the tank. You know, you get in a tank with a helmet on and you look like a fool. Well, people are going to say all the way through the campaign that you're a fool. And Dukakis had an 18-point lead at this time in the campaign when he was running for president, and he lost because he got in that tank and looked like an idiot. But guess what? This is Donald's world. He started it, and he's bought it. He's got it. It's his. J.D. Vance is weird. And everybody in the country knows it. And every time they get on to some television program and say that, oh, we're just supporting family. And by the way, we got nothing against cats. Let me tell you, they are getting annihilated. And the polls are starting to show it. And as an example, you know, Kamala had a 37% approval rating, very low. And then all of a sudden, she announced she was running for president. And right now, that approval rating is up to 47%. Higher than anybody that's in there running right now. There's nobody that's got a 47% number. So, of course, what the Republicans want to say is, hey, what about Joe Biden? Well, what about Joe Biden? Joe Biden, in his Profiles in Courage moment, stood up and said, I'm going to step aside and I'm going to make this work for the country and we're going to win and we are going to protect ourselves against the destruction of democracy. That's what Joe Biden did. And that's where we are. And the Democratic Party, and I said this yesterday, and there's no way that you can miss this. The Democratic Party is on fire with enthusiasm. Young people, and listen to this. Young people, this is again in the polls. Maybe you don't believe the polls now. Okay. Young people were in favor of Joe Biden by about 7 points. 1 week after Kamala Harris became the nominee, it's already over 20. From 7 to 20 in a week. Because this is what young people asked for. They said, we don't want old people doing this. Get us some young people. Democratic Party did it. And all the Republicans can do is talk about the old man who, unfortunately, is struggling in his life. And by the way, while he's struggling, thank you, Michael. Still no dead bodies, right? Yeah, but watch the ad. The ad says there are 250,000 out there, so you better start looking because they're somewhere. So you got to go find them. That's the key. Go find those bodies. But here's the thing. Young people, they decided that they wanted somebody younger. But Joe Biden, who did the right thing, yesterday stood up. And if you listen to him, he struggled. He didn't talk very fluently, but he did talk sensibly. And he talked about this idea of reform for the Supreme Court. And I even said yesterday that I disagreed with part of it because I don't want term limits for the Supreme Court. But that's all right. We can all discuss it. This is part of policy. One person sees it one way, another way. You know, I don't see it working because it's all that is a way to get rid of the people who are there now. But what about when you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg and John Paul Stevens and David Souter and all these fabulous progressives? Of course, some of them were picked by Republicans and turned progressive, but that's not even the point. The point is we've lived with this in the Supreme Court for generations, and I think we can live with it now. The problem is, and this he did come up with yesterday, and I think he's absolutely right. We need ethics reforms. We need to have ethical people on the court. Can't have Sam Alito turning flags upside down in support of a revolution against the United States government. Now, you can't have a man on the court who says that he supports the Constitution, but really supports the overthrow of the United States government. Can't do that. That's not going to work. And then he wants to be part of cases that judge people who attempted to overthrow the United States government. So you see, there are problems, but it's not term limits. But there are problems. Now, there are certainly other problems. You got Clarence Thomas taking $2.5 million in gifts from some right-wing kook. Now, really doesn't matter, right-wing or not, that's what he is. But which, again, people say right-wing, I'm going to say what it really is. It's neo-Nazi. But look, the problem is the $2.5 million isn't kosher. Get it? It's not okay. Because over that 20 years that Clarence has taken $2.5 million, the rest of the justices on the Supreme Court, all told, everyone together, $200,000. That's everyone. And maybe that's too much too. But with ethics reforms, we're going to find out who's taking the money, where are they getting it from, what are they taking that they're not allowed to have. See, we're going to get on top of this. Because there's no reason the Supreme Court justices, who make plenty of money, there's no reason that they have to be picking up extra cash from people who are trying to influence them on the Supreme Court. It's not what we're running a Supreme Court for anyway. The Supreme Court is there to interpret laws in cases that they choose to come to the court because somebody with standing, that is, with the right qualifications for bringing a case, have brought the case. And the right qualifications are this. You have to show that you've been damaged. So, for example, another nut. The Attorney General of Missouri is suing and trying to bring a case to the Supreme Court to show that the rights of Missouri citizens are being destroyed by everything from the way Donald Trump is treated to just almost anything that he thinks is progressive. But here's the thing. Every legal scholar says that it's craziness, and the court is not likely to accept these cases. It's just not going to happen. I mean, and believe me, these people are in Donald Trump's pocket to an extent. But even then, they know there are limits. Now, Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas don't know that there are limits. They think they can do what they want. So we're going to find out how far that goes, because all of this is going to be part of this campaign. So while you've got J.D. Vance and Donald Trump trying to convince people that they don't think that women without children are demonstrably harmful to the country, while they're trying to convince everybody of that, the Democrats are going to be bringing out real policies for debate. Let's see. Michael says, I attended the White Dudes for Kamala, the phone call last night on YouTube. where over 160,000 people attended. And that's what I've also been talking about here. The country is on fire in support of Kamala Harris. On fire. And you know, you can take the language and play with it and think that you're getting somewhere. But, you know, campaigns are won with enthusiasm. I mean, first you need voters, and then they need to have the enthusiasm to show up and vote. Now, I know the Republicans are going to say, and there are a whole bunch of them out there on TV right now, who are saying that it's all rigged. And when Donald loses, that they're going to do something really bad, like civil war. You got to be kidding. And by the way, there are 70 cities where they have installed campaign workers to work to try to make sure that we don't count the votes in November. And I know somebody thinks this is only on MSNBC, so it's not true. But no, it is true. These are all people who worked with Donald Trump as election deniers. So you can say, well, that doesn't make them bad. Well, of course it makes them bad, because the 2020 election, according to the secretaries of state all over the United States, was probably the fairest election in American history. The fairest election. And so they take the fairest election and say that it's the worst. No, the worst was probably in 1960 when Cook County probably stole the election from Richard Nixon, who, remember, conceded the very day that he lost and said, and this is Richard Nixon, he said, we're not going to put the country through this. We're just not going to do that. In the United States, when you lose, you lose. You don't go running around looking for fights, trying to make things crazy, and really dishonoring the Constitution. I mean, Richard Nixon, come on, one of the worst. But I did say one of the worst because we know the worst, according to the 154 scholars who judge this every year, the worst is Donald Trump. It's what they say. Now, you could say, scholars? We don't need scholars. Let's get rid of them all. No more college. No more scholars. Let's just get Viktor Orban in here and let him run the place. Which, by the way, let's not forget that Donald is saying exactly that. That Viktor Orban is one of the people who he believes is some kind of a model for how government should run. Man's putting journalists in jail, shutting down elections, shutting down the news. And that's what we want. But the great thing is, it's not what we want. Because what we want is what Kamala Harris is bringing to us. And like I say, you can laugh at me, and you can laugh at every other person who says that Kamala Harris is the solution. But you know what? The country's on fire with love for her. Where did that come from? Believe me, You can't rig that. You can't rig hundreds of thousands of people on these phone calls donating money and offering to volunteer. You can't make that up. And by the way, you definitely can't make up this. The best restaurant where you can eat dinner tonight is in Chesterfield Valley, and that is Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and it is the best. It really is. The food is great. It's great food. It's great environment. It's everything good about going to a restaurant. They've got wings. They've got smoked meats. They've got hamburgers and patty melts and cheeseburgers. They've got onion rings, and they've got baby back ribs. And I love those. And they've got pizza, and the pizza's great. And the drinks are great. In fact, really, no joke, the iced tea is some of the best iced tea I've ever had. Wendy's is just a great place to go at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And at the end of the night, you've eaten dinner, you've just filled yourself up, and you don't want anybody to think that you're, you know, overeating. So you could either go home or you could sneak on to Defiance, Missouri, where you could do it all over again at Wendy's Roadhouse, where they have the same great food, same great environment. You'll love it. Two great Wendy's, one in Defiance, one in Chesterfield Valley. The food is great, and Ben and his wife make sure that it's great. Okay, so the next place I want to take you is to a jewelry store, and that's at 4506 Hampton. And, of course, that's Jewels on Hampton. And when you walk in the door, that place is so full of jewelry everywhere. Cases and cases and cases of jewelry. All outstanding pieces. And you can buy jewelry from the store. You can sell jewelry to the store. They also buy and sell coins. And I can tell you that Al is just a great guy who everybody loves to do business with. And that's why they go to Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And they're great jewelry designers. They do that. And when it's all said and done, they'll also fix your watch. So, Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And finally, I'm going to take you to Clayton, right down the street from Jewels on Hampton, and you can get men's clothes, and I mean to tell you, they're great. They've got suits. They've got sport coats. And, you know, I've been told that in 2024, this is the big new deal. Wear a sport coat, wear a suit coat with your jeans. Looks great. They love it. Everybody does. I told the story the other day. I walked into an elevator with my suit coat and the tie and my jeans. And, yeah, the St. Louis Suit Company told me it would be fine. And they were right, because the people in the elevator, or at least one of them, asked me if I was a weatherman. And, of course, I explained, no, I'm just fashionable. So that's where we are in 2024. And the way to find out the best of the best when it comes to men's suits is on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. That is the St. Louis Suit Company. Now, don't forget, they've got overcoats. And those overcoats right now are nicely priced. You know, you walk outside where it looks like it's now pouring out there, which, you know, that was obviously coming. Well, here's the thing. It's hot. It's July. Of course it's hot. This isn't even climate change. It's just hot. It's July. So guess what? Go buy yourself an overcoat when it's hot out and get the low prices rather than waiting until it's cold and everybody's desperate for one. Don't do that. So, St. Louis Suit Company, always the best place for men's clothing. Don't forget, if you're getting married, they're also top of the line for men's wedding attire. That's the St. Louis Suit Company, 29 years in Clayton. Check out Jay and Nick. They're great. Okay. So let me tell you about somebody I watched today. And, you know, I'm not exactly talking about Donald and J.D. Vance at the moment, but one of their sycophants. And that's, of course, John Kennedy. And every time I hear John Kennedy's name, I think to myself, horrible. I mean, such a great name in American history, and they planted it on this lunatic. So here's what John Kennedy said today. He is saying that Kamala Harris is a ding-dong. Okay. I mean, if he thinks that's doing him any good or any other Republicans, say it all you want, because it's actually making things 1,000 times worse. But here's the funny part of it, and I wonder how many Republicans are buying into this idiotic story. John Kennedy says that there is research, that there is evidence, that there is polling right now that shows that all over the United States, people think that Kamala Harris is a ding-dong. First of all, I don't even know what a ding-dong is. I mean, obviously, he's trying to say that she's somehow stupid or something. But, you know, the point is, there's no polling that backs this up. There's no polling that shows that the American people think that Kamala Harris is a ding-dong. I mean, it's just a dumb thing to say. It's not helping Donald. It's not helping J.D. Vance. It's more of this trying to explain something that no one is going to buy into. Because while these nuts are out here just trying to do anything to come up with a story that will encourage somebody to vote for Donald Trump, which at this point, it's not happening, guys. I know you want it to, and you feel like it might, and you keep thinking it's going to turn around because Donald has superpowers, but no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is a United States senator with the name John Kennedy is running around calling Kamala Harris a ding-dong, and believe me, that is not doing anybody any good in the Republican Party. Not at all. Now, I will say that there was a mayor from Texas who was all over MSNBC today, a Republican mayor, and he's out here saying exactly what I'm telling you, that these people are destroying themselves. And really, all over the country, Republicans are joining behind Kamala Harris. That's why her numbers are going up so dramatically at a time when, yeah, Donald wants to say, oh, no, we just love families. We support parents. We want parents to run everything. When the truth is, parents really shouldn't be running anything except for whatever their business is. That's okay. And, you know, on top of that, I mean, when their kids are at home, I think it's fair for the parents to make decisions about what happens in their house. That's okay. I don't want to get involved in their business, even though the Republican Party wants to get involved in everybody's business. But no, I don't want to do that. I want parents at home to be able to decide what they want to do with their kids. That's fine. If they go too far, the kids will call the hotline. Don't worry. So I'm not concerned about that. They're not going to get away with too much. And really, I have to laugh because when you look down the line, all of these kids whose parents think they've got something to say about anything, they're going to be very unhappy about their kids when they find out that the kids tend to push back. And if you've got a whole bunch of conservative parents, you end up with a whole bunch of progressive kids. That's true the other way, too. If you've got a whole bunch of progressive parents, you could end up with some conservative reactions against that. But to tell you the truth, it's not going against the progressives right now. In fact, it's the opposite. The country is on fire. There's just no other way to describe it. I mean, I'm going to walk out of here tonight, and I'm going to listen to some political shows, and all I'm going to hear is people excited about Kamala Harris and whoever it is that she's about to pick for vice president. And that's the other thing. She's got some people to pick from who are really sharp. Certainly, Josh Shapiro is one possibility. I know there were some people like Ray Hartman was up here. He talked about Roy Cooper, but Roy Cooper's pulled out of all of this. He doesn't want any part of it, but that's okay. I mean, he's not against Kamala. He just doesn't want to run for vice president. And there's some others out there who are deciding they don't want to be considered for it as well. But there are some very excellent people who do want to be part of this. And I know there's been a lot of talk about how great it would be to have Gretchen Whitmer, you know, put together with Kamala, but apparently that's not happening either. And I never thought that would anyhow, because it always seemed like it was too much asking for two women on the ticket. But I'd have loved it, and I think a lot of people in this country would have. And I also think it's just a matter of people just not having the courage to take a chance. And I don't think it's that big of a chance. If you've ever heard Gretchen Whitmer, boy, is she good. She is phenomenal. It's just like I talked about the other day. These are people, Gretchen Whitmer and Kamala Harris, who have that perfect pitch in American politics. When they speak, they really sound good. They know how to tell their story. You may not like their story. That's okay. You don't have to like everybody. We can go back to arguing over politics again. You know, somebody could be more conservative. Somebody could be more liberal. You could disagree, and you could find ways to make laws where people could live with what comes together. But that's not where we are right now. Where we are right now, at first, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, we were still in this valley where everybody was depressed. And they all thought, really, mostly on the Democratic Party side, that they just thought they had nowhere to go. They thought the story couldn't be told. And they thought that the democracy was endangered and that a return to fascism was imminent. And suddenly, the person that everybody wants to call out because he's old, that guy stood up and showed that he had courage and that he had honor And in support of democracy, he withdrew from the race. I know there's somebody that'll say, well, he was forced out. He would have stayed. Well, you know what? They gave him a push, sure. But let's not forget this. He didn't have to do anything. There were still a lot of people out here, and I mean a lot, on the Democratic Party side who were going to stick by Joe Biden. Maybe to the detriment of the Democratic Party, yes. You know, Jim Clyburn. Clyburn said that he was riding with Biden, period. He didn't care what else happened. He was sticking with Joe Biden. Okay, that's loyalty. Not loyalty to criminality, not loyalty to a psychopath, not loyalty to a sociopath, none of that. He just felt that Joe Biden deserved his support, not because Joe Biden was doing the wrong thing and he would stick by it anyway. No, it was because Joe Biden was doing the right thing, but just was having a problem telling the story. But here's the deal. Kamala Harris is now in charge, and she can tell the story. And she's doing it every single day. And the crowds are growing larger, and the support from her for her is growing increasingly large. Wait till you see the next polls, because she's coming on like gangbusters. She just is. The enthusiasm is everywhere. And like I say, if you're a Republican, yeah, this is great. You can say, no, there's no enthusiasm. We have it all. Well, here's the deal. There was some enthusiasm for Donald Trump at that convention in the Republican Party. There was. And a bunch of people even liked J.D. Vance when he was picked during the convention. But you all, something happened. It all flipped. And you can try to deny it, and you can try to walk away from it, and you could wish that you lived in another universe, but that's not where we are. We're in a place where reality is this gigantic enthusiasm that is just daily exploding across this country. How do you stop it? Well, I'm going to tell you this. You can't. You can't stop it by talking about parents trying to control classrooms where they don't belong. You can't stop it by coming up with explanations for why women without children are destroying America. And believe me, there are some crazy things being said now in order to try to support this idea that parents, grown-ups without children, are deeply harming the United States. It will never sell. It just won't. It is nonsensical, and it's going nowhere. And if you watch that ad that Donald Trump has out today, where he's trying to make fun of Kamala Harris because somewhere he got a clip of her dancing and he thinks that dance looked like a Mexican dance or something like that, I can tell you right now, it's not working. People in this country are enthused and they don't want to hear Donald's explanation, and they certainly don't want to hear J.D. Vance's explanation, and they definitely don't want to hear John Kennedy explaining that he found a poll that helps us to recognize that Kamala Harris is a ding-dong. Because it's all nuts. And everybody that's running around this country knows it's nuts. And they're getting ready to vote Kamala Harris into the White House. And then we come up with the next part of this insanity, of this neo-Nazism. And that's when the Republicans are all going to say, it was rigged. That's what they're going to say. They've got these 70 cities right now with election officials out there who are going to try to say that they're not going to certify the elections in their states. And I can tell you right now, they're not going to get away with it. They're really not. And especially when you see these numbers, because Donald's not going to lose by a little. By the time we get to November, you watch where these polls are. We're not going to have much of a doubt when we walk in to vote in November. We're going to know where this is going. We know where it's going right now. Okay, so, you know, we're down to only 3-4 minutes left. And I wanted to comment tonight, just for a few minutes. I'll do more later. I want to comment tonight on what's happening in Israel, because you know that Lebanon, the Hezbollah group, launched rockets into Israel, and you got 12 dead kids. And I can tell you that the Israelis responded, and a lot of people are really worried about where this might go. And I don't think they're going to stop with that response. I would love for the Israelis to be cautious about what they're doing. But I also know that you go out killing people's kids, you got trouble. Now, it's true that you got people who are dying in Gaza because the Israelis are doing some killing there. They say it's retribution for October 7th, and you can understand that. And each side has an explanation for how their retribution is valid. And I can just say this as clearly as I can. Until the Palestinians are protected and have a fair and decent life, it's never going to fly over there. And the reason I say the Palestinians need to be protected is because they also need to be protected against themselves, because they can't be crossing the border killing Israelis, because when they do it, they're inviting more death into their area of living. And this has gone on since 1948, and some say, well, it goes way back beyond that. But let's just go to 48. You're not going to beat Israel. You're not going to. They're too powerful. I know they got their weapons from us, but it doesn't matter. They're too powerful. And they got those weapons, and we gave them all of this because of what they went through in Europe. So, look, this is not going to end simply, but it can end. Protect the Palestinians. Protect Israel, for sure. And make sure that they have a chance to grow their country the same way we allowed Germany to grow theirs after World War II. It worked. They better do something like that here, or else it won't end well. Listen, for Wendy's, for the St. Louis Suit Company, and for Jules on Hampton, I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Showdown. Good night.